You're a retired lieutenant colonel in the Air Force. You had some interesting jobs when you were in the Air Force.
Well, I had a number of assignments. I spent actually 12, 13 years in Albuquerque, New Mexico. I started out at the Air Force Special Weapons Center and worked for the Air Force Weapons Lab two times after that. Worked on advanced EMP projects.
Well, you had several patents and inventions, and the rumor in the scuttlebutt is that you may have used some UFO technology with this. Is there anything true to that?
Well...
What can you say and what you can't say?
Well, I can be pretty open about that. I was doing some UFO investigations, and it occurred to me that people were not reporting sonic booms from UFO flights. So I looked at that and reverse engineered the process to mitigate or eliminate sonic booms, at least up to Mach 3 or 4. So I thought that'd be a great idea.
So that can actually be, you can actually get rid of them, huh?
Absolutely, get rid of it. The sonic boom completely dissipates, then would allow flights over populated areas without the hazard of the boom.
Yeah, without knocking everybody's windows out.
Absolutely. I probably made a mistake when I found the patent in the United States Patent Office. I included some sketches. They'd like to know how your idea originated, and I actually drew a few sketches of flying saucers and the method that the saucer uses to mitigate the sonic boom. And I used the same technology. Basically, it's high-powered microwave from the leading edge of the disc to preheat the air.
So now, when you make a statement like that, I've got to follow that up. Have you actually seen a flying saucer, UFO?
My analysis was from video clips.
Okay.
From various and a few hundred different film clips.
See, I had visions of maybe you could tell me that you've been on a saucer and flying around.
Well, I haven't, but
yeah.
Willing, able, and ready.
But that's how they do it with microwave.
Well, that's one way, and that's the way I believe it's done. It's around a half degree beam width, and it goes out a few thousand feet in front, and the air is preheated to several thousand degrees. At 60 gigahertz, that's a resonant frequency of oxygen, so it works throughout the whole atmosphere.
Now what are other kind of inventions? All of them are aerial type convention, right? I mean, your inventions deal with aerospace products or what? I mean, you have several patents.
Several patents. I can not talk about one where I was...
Well, that's the one I'd like to talk about. No,
I understand. I submitted the idea for a cloaking device, and people are probably well familiar with a number of photographs that people have at the beach, the zoo. They come home and they photograph the family scene, and there's a UFO in there, and that's very mysterious because people didn't remember seeing it or didn't see it. Well, I reverse engineered that, so I determined how the saucer cloaked itself. So I thought I'd be a clever chap and apply for a patent.
So I assume that would probably do something with shifting the light rays or vibes or the spectrum.
Well, I went into it, and it's a sound engineering device. I submitted the patent office, and they come back very curious. They said this idea is not patentable, deflated my ego. But then when I said, "But Ron, you understand that this whole idea is foreign export controlled."
Wow.
Wait a minute. It's not patentable. It's not classified, but it's foreign export controlled. And I said, yep.
So what were they trying to tell you there?
I don't know. I'm very frustrated along that line. I guess I can disclose the idea to any documented U.S. citizen under heavy non-disclosure. Not certainly willing to do that to certain people.
Mm-hmm. Now when we talk about your Air Force career, you mentioned and it kind of just went right by. You did UFO investigations, or
that was more of an avocation. My real assignment was electromagnetic pulse. That was sort of exotic area. South of the runway in Albuquerque, there's a lot of exotic structures, and I was a principal design team and manager to build those back in the early 70s.
Yeah, I mean, you immediately when you mentioned where you were stationed for a huge part of your career, my ears perk up, not far from Sandia Base, not far from Los Alamos.
Well, I did have a neighbor. His name was Dick Caudill. And he was the state neutral UFO network director, and we had a social relationship in our family. He sort of sparked my interest in UFOs at that particular time. And one day in the paper, he announced 2 weeks in advance that two saucers were going to fly into the air base, back to the air base, one evening. That was pretty startling, but the article went on to say three were going to fly out a couple hours later.
And this was in a regular newspaper?
A regular Albuquerque Tribune essay.
The Albuquerque, right.
And would you believe it? The time come and went, and that's exactly what happened. Two flew in, it was observed, and a few hours later, three saucers flew out.
Did you actually see them?
No, I didn't. I sort of didn't believe, this is too much to believe. I didn't stay up to observe it,
Yeah, did he give you a time when this was going to happen?
I'm not sure he knew the time. He said within the next couple of weeks that was going to happen.
Well, there have been all kinds of stories about UFOs on the runways here at, what is that, Kirkland?
Kirkland Air Force Base, and there's actually... Yeah. When I was assigned there in the early 60s, there were three air bases. There was Kirtland Air Force Base, which was Air Force, Sandia Base, which was Army. Then there was a Manzano munition storage area, which is sort of south of the runway with a large number of fences.
I always hear about a lot of underground activity at Sandia, even. I mean, like they have... a lot of things underground. Do you know if that's true or not?
I only know about the Manzano base, okay. Munition storage. I did have a tour of that. It's a highly secure area, but I mean in the sense of physical security. But
and I take it you probably worked a large part of your career in unison or in conjunction, liaison with aerospace industry companies and corporations, then probably, right? I mean,
we were...
probably wasn't all just the Air Force people you were dealing with.
Well, a lot of contractors do a lot of the technical work, and when you move up to lieutenant colonel, you're a management rank.
Yes.
And, you really don't have much time to work. You're managing subcontracts. One time I had 30 contracts I was managing.
30, wow. Okay. You have any connection with Area 51?
That's probably off the book.
Oh, discussion. Oh, yeah. I just thought I'd throw that in, right?
Right.
You never know. Sometimes you get an answer.
Correct, yeah. Well, you know.
Can you tell me, you made these patents, so you obviously don't feel that there's going to be a huge revelation here, so you have a right to make these patents as well as anybody else.
Well, I believe that, it's technology, and, I submitted the patent through the process, and, if the government didn't want that disclosed, they certainly could have contacted me, but it's actually published in the Patent Gazette, the complete set of details, so it's sort of interesting about the foreign non-disclosure to foreign nationals.
Now, what do you think's really going on with all that you can say? I know you know a lot, or suspect a lot, and have reasons to suspect it, but, you come to these UFO conferences, you're interested in the subject. What's happening here? We have... Is there an agreement going on between you guys and the ETs?
Well, gosh, you know, everybody would like to know the answer to that question. My reason to come is to stimulate creativity and ideas. And, you know, there's rumors by other folks here that a lot of inventions were back-engineered, you know, Velcro, transistors, fiber optics. So I come in here looking for ideas, and like the one I talked about with the sonic boom, it just sort of pops in your mind, you know. Gee, this is how they do it, you know.
Yeah, so you're basically here because you're interested in the subject, and second of all, it gives you an idea on how to develop something with our technology.
Right, and if the aliens are, all this is real, that's great. If it's not, you know, that's okay. But from the creativity process, if we can build advanced technology inventions, you know, that's well worth the...
You ever been around evidence of an ET crash or something connected to that? This is a crash retrieval conference.
Well, I've had discussions with...
trying again.
Couple folks, and one claimed that... it was necessary to do radiation analysis of the Roswell crashed hardware prior to being shipped out to various locations. I think the concern was it might be radioactive. So this particular individual analyzed every piece of hardware equipment that come through prior to being dispatched to other locations.
Any of it radioactive?
He said it was not.
Okay.
But there's a real concern that it might be, so that's how he got involved.
Uh-huh.
And another person actually claimed to handle the bodies of the Roswell crash.
And was that story basically what we've always heard about the small bodies and charred and et cetera? Or?
Exactly. This gentleman has since transitioned. Otherwise, I probably wouldn't be even discussing it, but he talked about the bodies in the yellow bags and seemed to be pretty hazardous, you know, from the bio aspect, so he was very careful about that. And he was 80-some years old and incredibly concerned about security, which sort of surprising his age.
In other words, he just because he was getting old, he still honored it. All of the threats.
Well, as it was interesting, on my parting visit, I made up a story as I walked out the door, just on the spur of the moment, and I said, well, I'm understanding that the Congress and the President may be thinking about granting immunity to all these folks that where we can always go back and get the real story. And he made a stunning comment. He said, the President edict would not be near enough.
Hmm. So draw from that what, a higher power?
I don't know. He, you know, that was the end of the talk, you know. And
where was he when he saw these bodies, did you say?
He was at Loveless Clinic in Albuquerque, New Mexico.
So here again, this New Mexico connection has been since the history of the UFO phenomenon.
Right? Oh, absolutely. Right, yeah.
And
the thread keeps running through Albuquerque and Kirtland. And, yeah.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it? And, well, hey, it's a pleasure meeting you. And, you know, I hope we can talk more candidly about some of this stuff pretty soon.
Well, as I get older, maybe I'll forget.
I'll look you up when you're 80-something and see if
okay, yeah, maybe I have more revelation.
Thank you very much.
It's been very great. Thank you.
Thank you.